If you have your Bibles, we're going to go over to the book of Joshua. Joshua tonight. Joshua chapter 24 and starting at verse 13. If you got it, say amen. And I have given you a land and for which you did not labor, cities which you built, which ye built not, and ye dwell in them, of the vineyards and of the olive yards, which ye have planted not, do you eat. It says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, which did those signs, great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. We're going to read down to verse 24. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwell in the land. Therefore will we serve, we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God, for he is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. For if ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, he said, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. Last verse, verse 24. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. Acts chapter 26, and we're going to read from verse 20, just a few verses there, starting at verse 27. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not you, only thou, but also all that hear me this day, we're both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor and Bernice, and they that sat with them. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, this man doeth nothing worthy of death or bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man may have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. Let's pray. Lord God, in Jesus' name, we want to thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, for this privilege and opportunity to go into your word. Let your anointing be upon me tonight, God. You know who's in this service tonight. You know what needs to be said in the house, Lord God. We give you the glory, we give you the honor, we give you the praise. We let us be united, we pray, God, in Jesus' name. Let's clap our hands one more time and give him some praise. Hallelujah. You may be seated tonight. Glory to God. I want to use for a thought tonight, the crossroads of life. The crossroads of life. Crossroad is a time in which important changes occur or major decisions must be made. You see, in the time of Joshua, it was the children of Israel that had came to a crossroad. Joshua laid it out to them and said, okay, choose you this day whom you will serve. Either God that was you were serving in Egypt or the God on this side of the flood. It was time for them to make a decision. Joshua told them, said, to put away from you the strange gods, the gods that can do nothing for you, in other words. So it came a time that they were at this particular crossroad. They had to make up their minds themselves within themselves to make a decision to live for God or not to live for God, to serve God or not to serve God. The same God that had done them good, if they had chosen to forsake him, was going to do them harm. But you see, even with King Agrippa, he said, thou, Paul, almost persuadest me to be a Christian. You see, Agrippa was in a place what you call a crossroad. He had to make a decision to be a Christian. But ultimately, he made the wrong choice, but he chose not to live for God. He told Paul, I almost did it, Paul. Maybe if you would have said one more word, maybe if you would have said just a little bit more, I would have became that. But you see, child of God, we're living in the day that every day, almost every day, we come to crossroads. A crossroad is a time that you have to make a decision. Either you're going to choose to live for God or you're not going to live for God. That's just the bottom line. You have to make up in your mind, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to sell out to God. I'm going to be what God wants me to be. And you can't let the devil distract you. Hallelujah to God. You see, when you come to a stop sign in the road, it's a crossroad. If you come upon a stop sign, and there's four different cars, there's someone is going to have to make the decision to go first. Someone is going to have to make the decision to let the other driver go before they go. Or maybe they may choose to go first themselves, but it's a crossroad. It's a time for a decision. You see, God doesn't want people that tops about to and fro, not knowing where they're going and not knowing where they're headed. God has a hard time using someone that's being tossed by the wind or tossed by the sea. He's looking for people that know how to sink their anchors down and live for him no matter what. No matter what the enemy throws at them. No matter what the devil says. No matter what they're going through. No matter what trial come your way. God is looking for somebody that when you get to that crossroad, he's standing on the other side saying, just reach out to me. Grab a hold to me. I'm here for you. But you see, God will never twist your arm. He'll never break your back. He leaves that decision totally up to you. And see, you have to make up in your mind when you're in that crossroad that what you're going to do. I've lived for God long enough to know that crossroads, they come and crossroads, they go. There's sometimes you cannot make major decisions in the middle of a crisis. When you're having a crisis, one of the worst things that you can do is to make a major decision that's going to affect you and all those around you. You have to just settle that the thing begin to pass you by. You have to begin to seek God in his ways about what should I do. You have to get down on your knees and pray like you never prayed before. You have to get desperate for God to move in your life. Because there's times God will lead us to a crossroad and it's time for us to make a decision. He allows those to come because he doesn't want robots, but he was one a child of God that knows how to live for him. He wants a child of God that'll sell out to him. He wants a child of God that'll love them with all of their hearts, all of their minds, and with all of their souls, with all of their strength. Did you see? Because there's no room in this thing for jellyfishes. A jellyfish doesn't have a backbone. A jellyfish, it doesn't. Hallelujah to God. But he's looking for somebody that'll stand for righteousness, that'll stand for joy, that'll stand for his principle, that'll hold up his bloodstained banner. He's looking for somebody that'll fight the battle, or fight the good fight of faith. He's looking for somebody that'll stand up to this world and say, I'm going to be different. He's looking for somebody that when they're in that crossroad, they're going to make the right decisions. You see, trials are never intended to get us away from God. Trials are intended to help us to be what he wants us to be. Those trials come, those tribulations come, not to make us run and say, well, God is mad at me, or God, leave me alone, and none of that stuff. It's simply just to bring us closer to God. It's to us to be made to what we ought to be. You see, everybody that hears under the sound of my voice will one day come to a crossroad. Young person, that's going to come a day. You're not going to be able to hold on to your mom and dad's coattail. You're going to have to make the decision yourself to live for God. You're going to have to decide within yourself, do I live for God? Do I not live for God? And you can't do it because of your mom and your daddy. You're going to have to do it because you love God, because he is the reason why you live. You're going to have to make up in your own mind that I got to live for God because I love God. Because if not, the same God that has blessed you your whole life is the same God that will curse you if you turn your back on him. You cannot turn your back on God. If there ever was a day, if there ever was a time, if there ever was a season to live for God, this is that day. This is that hour. This is that time to sell out to God, because he's about to come soon. He's coming back for his people. The Bible said they have made themselves ready. Somebody clap your hands unto the Lord and give him some praise. Somebody said, but I'm at a crossroad. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. I don't know where to go. Oh, friend of mine, let me tell you. The best thing you can do is begin to find your prayer closet somewhere and then shut out the world and begin to pray unto God and say, God, I need your help. I need you to lead me, God. I need you to guide me, God. I need you to keep me, Lord. I'm at a crossroad right now, God. I don't understand what's happening to me, but this one thing I know, God, I'm going to live for you regardless of how I feel, regardless of what I'm going through, because I know, God, that you're there for me. I know, God, that you're there to help me. But you see, life sometimes issues you a bitter pill. Sometimes things come your way and you don't understand it. There's things that comes my way and I don't understand sometimes. But I understand this, the God that I serve, this is greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The God that I serve is greater than my problem. The God that I serve is greater than my trial. The God that I serve, hello, he'll get me through any situation as long as I keep my confidence in him, as long as I keep my trust in him. Oh, friend of mine, don't let the devil take away your confidence in God, because it's confidence in God that's going to get you through the next trial that's coming your way. It's confidence in God that's going to keep you. Oh, friend of mine, know that your God love you with an everlasting love, and he would never stop loving you. The scripture says he is a holy God, a jealous God. He don't like for you to have any other God before him. That's why Joshua, when he instructed the children of Israel, he told them specifically, put away the strange gods from among you. There had to be something going on in order for Joshua to make that statement. You see, God took them out of Egypt, but some of Egypt got into some of the people. They had been there some 400 years, so obviously some of the rituals had gotten into the children of Israel, but God wasn't putting up with that. And Joshua instructed them to get rid of that. Oh, friend of mine, our God is calling us to be different. Our God is calling us to be separate. Our God is calling us to be holy. Our God is calling us to stand up in a world that's full of chaos and perversion. He's looking for a people, hallelujah, to God, that'll stand up for him regardless of what this world dictates. He's looking for a people that'll fight and to stand up. If you're going to be a child of God, you got to learn how to fight. If you're not a fighter, you got a lot of battles to go through, because it's when you learn how, and see, we don't fight the way they fight in the world. We fight with the word of God. You got to have the word of God inside of you. Why do you think the devil fights so hard to keep people from reading the word? He don't want you to know what the Bible says about certain situations. He don't want you to know what the Bible says about certain things, because you can be down in the dumps feeling terrible about everything, and you go to pick up your Bible and the word, something will jump out at you and it'll encourage you, because this book is alive. This word is alive. It's not dead. I said it's alive. The word of God is alive, and it'll make you, it'll burp you, it'll give you strength, it'll encourage you, but you got to read the book. What was it that Jesus used to fight back at the devil? It was his word. It was the word of his word he used to fight back at the devil. And it's what he's given us to fight back at the devil with. But we got to, if we don't know what it says, it don't do us no good. We have to fall in love with the author of the book. When you fall in love with the author of the book itself becomes even more alive to you. It's not just like reading any other book. If you want to know anything about any subject, begin to open the Bible. It'll talk about this, that, and the other thing. It tells you all about it. He's looking for somebody that'll stand up for righteousness. Hello? Oh, friend of mine, God's word says never, it's not going to change to fit this world. The world's got to change to fit the word of God, because it's what we're going to be judged by. It's what's going to get us on the other side when we live what it says, when we do what it says. We got to obey his word. Oh, somebody clap their hands unto the Lord and give him praise. You see, we got to have the word of God. We got to have an indwelling of the Holy Ghost. We got to keep the Holy Ghost alive inside of us. We got to give the Holy Ghost some attention every day. We can't just let the Holy Ghost lie dormant in our lives. We have to feed it with the word of God and prayer. We got to feed the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost is in charge, oh, friend of mine, ain't a devil in hell can stop you from living for God. There's not a devil that can stop you when you on fire for God. And God intends for you to be on fire for him. But the only time it gets hard is when you get your eye on the storm. But don't get your eye on the storm. Get your eye above the storm and realize that Jesus is still in control. Oh, somebody worship the Lord and give him praise. Uh-oh. Somebody put your seatbelt on. As a saint of God, you gotta have a pastor. You can't be saved without one. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, obey them that have to rule over you. But it didn't stop there. It says, and submit yourselves. Whew. That's a word nowadays that you can't hardly use anymore, Brother Walker. People talk about submitting and they want to run and try to get a new Cadillac. Submit seems to be a bad word nowadays. You know, but when you learn how to submit to the man of God and allow him to guide you, lead you, and guide you, you're blessed. Because you submit like the Bible says. And you listen to what he says. You don't go against what he says. Mm-hmm. And you submit yourself. And in submitting yourself, God blesses you. But you gotta have a pastor. You know why? Because he's the one that's gonna stand before God and give an account for you. In the way that you lived on this earth. It's going to be his duty to do that. Amen. You see, we are what we see. We have to be careful. Uh-oh. We have to be careful. You know, there's a song that says, be careful, little eyes, what you see. You know what we pay attention to the most. We have to be careful what we allow in our lives. Because our eyes are a gateway to our soul. So we have to be careful what we see. David said, I'll set no evil thing before mine eyes. So if it's evil, you know, there's just come times that you got to make up in your mind. This is not going to be a part of my life. It's not going to be a part of my walk with God because it gets in my way. There's some things you just got to get rid of. And because they are a hindrance to your walk with God. But you see, God will bring you to that crossroad, but he'll allow you to make the decision. He's not going to twist your arm. He's not going to break your hand. He leaves it up to you to make the decision as far as what you see. It's the truth. And what we do and what we see, and then it has a bearing on our walk with God. You know, you can, if you're not where you ought to be in your walk with God, you can see two people standing right here or right there. And they're talking to you. And if you're not right with God, you're going to begin to think they're talking about you. And they may not even be nowhere in their conversation. But you see, you have to be careful what you see, what you pay attention to. because it's the gateway to your soul. And then also you have to be careful what you hear. Why y'all getting quiet on me? You have to be careful what you hear, what you allow to come into your ears. We don't want gossip. We don't want to hear that. I don't need to know the latest. You know, you got to be careful. If someone's coming at you with gossip, one of the first things you need to do is talk to the hand, because I ain't hearing it. You know, because it doesn't altogether affect you right away, but gossip will destroy you in the long run if you open up the door to it. You know, we got to be careful what type of music we listen to. Hello? We really do. We need to be careful what type of music we listen to. Is it, you know, you let me tell you how you can clarify it? Does it glorify God or does it glorify the devil? It's only them two. And is it lifting up God or is it lifting up the devil? We have to be careful. I'm sorry, but rock and roll is of the devil. I don't care what you say. We don't need to be listening to that mess. We don't need to listen to that junk. It'll destroy you. You have to get away from that. Rap music, too. I hate rap music. All they do is talk about women and put women down. And drugs and alcohol. That doesn't glorify God. You know, why do I want to shake my foot, tap my foot to the devil's music when I can be tapping my foot to the Lord Jesus Christ? Come on now. There's enough gospel music out there. There's enough music that glorifies God that I don't have to compromise and listen to that mess that the devil glorifies. Hallelujah. Somebody give God some praise. We got to be careful what we hear. We got to be careful what we listen to. I remember one time, Brother Rossi, one time I was down in the dumps, a little perturbed. That's a new word I learned. And I was feeling like God didn't love me. I was feeling that way. Like God didn't love me. And I was around some saints and I feel like they didn't love me. And so I had went and visited them. I left their house. I was just down that day. So I said, okay, that's it, God. I quit. I quit. That's it. I don't want nothing else to do with you. So I get in my car. First thing I do, I crank up the radio. But it wasn't godly music. Soon as I turned it on, I turned it right back off. Because I didn't want to hear it. That's not what I wanted. What I really wanted to get out of my little pity party that I was having and let God touch me and focus in on him. But you know, I got through that situation, Brother Ronnie, and I didn't keep listening to that music because it didn't set with me. I turned the radio off and said, I don't want to hear that. Oh, you know, oh boy. Because you have to be careful what you allow to come into your life. Because it will harm you in one way or another. And there's a song that said the devil is a sly old fox. If I could catch him, I'd put him in a box. Lock the door and throw away the key for all the mean tricks he's played on me. Old friend of mine, that's what you have to know who you stand for. And you have to take that old devil and push him out of your life. You can't let him influence you to do things that's contrary to the word of God. Because you see, you got to cross over that crossroad and allow God to bless you in a special way. I got my eyes on the clock. We have to be careful what we read. You do. If I pick up a book, if the book don't get my attention within the first few chapters, more likely I'm not going to read it because it's boring to me. You know, but when I read the Bible's not boring to me. Never boring. But if I can find myself a good book, oh man, I'll read it all the way through. I like to read some books, but not all of them. Most of them don't get my attention. And when I read or pick up a book and the author is too boring, I can't handle that. I'm sorry, but I can't. So we have to be careful what we read. You know, that stuff out of Hollywood, the magazines about this, that, and the other. They're not happy in Hollywood. Don't kid yourself. They want what we got. We got the greatest thing on this side of heaven. Hello. And it doesn't get any better than this. They're looking for what we have. You see, they're at crossroads down there, and we're making the right choice. We're at crossroads, but we're making the right decisions. And when you make the right decisions, God blesses you. So we don't want to read anything that's distort what we believe or what the Bible says. That's even some preachers I don't listen to because of what they put out there. You have to be careful. Let me move on. The reasons why people fail. You see, it's in that crossroad, when you come to that crossroad, when people come to that crossroad, most people pass the test. But then there's a certain majority few that they fail the test when they get there because their mindset, it shouldn't be, it's not where it should be. Some of them, they develop, they don't want to do anything. They get lazy. You can't get lazy in this thing. The Bible says to occupy till I come. In other words, he's saying stay busy. You got to stay busy in the kingdom. You can't withdraw yourself from the kingdom, but you have to stay busy in the kingdom. It's staying busy that God blesses you. When you stay busy in the kingdom of God, God takes care of you. When you seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, the Bible says, scriptures, all these things will be added unto you. When you take care of God's kingdom, God will take care of you. But you have to take care of the kingdom of God first. There's a need in them to want to be popular. Well, I won't touch that one. And then the fear of failing is the reason why people fall. You get all wrapped up and tired. Oh no, I'm going to fail. And you finally, what happens if you convince yourself that you're going to fail, and eventually you will, because you convince yourself of that. You know, it's all in what you think about, how you respond to that crossroad, you know, because you cannot think automatically defeat when you get there. And then there's no obligation to responsibilities. If there ever was a day that we had a responsibility, we have a responsibility today as a child of God. Not only to worship God and to live for God and to serve him, but we have a responsibility to get others here to the house of God too. Yes, he's entrusted us with that. He wants us to be soul winners. Hallelujah to God. He just doesn't give us the Holy Ghost just so we can have the Holy Ghost, even though it's a part of being saved. He wants us to reach out to others, to let them to know that, hey, there's a hope in this world that you can have. Hallelujah to God. His name is Jesus Christ. Ooh, hallelujah to God. Thank you, Jesus. The sweetest rewards are just beyond the greatest temptation to quit. I think I need to read that one again. The sweetest rewards are just beyond the greatest temptation to quit. You know, everybody comes to that every once in a while. If you live for God any length of time, you will come to that crossroad. Should I go keep going or should I quit? You will. You will come to that crossroad. But the thing to do is to make up in your mind, I'm not quitting. I got to keep going forward in Jesus' name. You got to put your hands to the plow without looking back. And just keep going forward. And see, it's in looking back that you get the notion to want to quit. But you got to keep looking forward, keep pressing forward, keep pushing forward. Because see, at that time when it happens, you're at a crossroad in your life. And those crossroads are going to come. But you're going to have to make the right decision. And that's where God leaves it all up to you. What choice are you going to make, you know? I'm not asking you to tell me. I'm just saying that's what God does. Sometimes he allows those crossroads to come our way so we can make the right decisions. And when we make the right decision to keep pushing forward, he blesses you even more so. You find that it wasn't as bad as you thought it was when you got there. It's just that you got to make a decision. And so, therefore, he really doesn't want you to quit. He wants you to make the right decisions. We all going to come to crossroads. There's no way to avoid that. But you see, most of the time when God began to allow us to suffer, that's when, you know, it's in suffering that you're at a crossroad in your life. You know, sometimes God's got to withdraw some things from us to get us to be where he wants us to be. And then, you know, we're so used to having some of those things that we get the idea that we got to have these things. But that's not true. The only thing that we really got to have in our life is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah to God. Amen. And when you got the Lord Jesus Christ, you got everything that this world has to offer. Hello, but when you got Jesus in your life, that's all that really matters. Whether you ever obtain the greatest riches of this world, it don't matter. Whether you ever obtain any material possessions of this world or not, that's not where it's at. Where it's at is to live for God and live for God and to prosper in his kingdom. You know, the world look around and say, well, man, he's really successful. Look at there. He's got 10 houses, 2 cars, and a black Cadillac. But it don't matter with God. You know, what matters to God is that you're successful and live for God. I don't know why Cadillac keeps coming to me, but there's nothing wrong with them. They're nice cars. But you see, in life, everybody comes to crossroads. Everybody does. It doesn't mean that God is mad at you. It doesn't mean that God hates you. It doesn't mean that he's turned against you. It just simply means that you need to make up in your mind what you're going to do. To live for God or not live for God. To serve him or to not serve him. You see, the scripture says, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But check this out. It says, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. In other words, he that put up with whatever comes his way. And with the apostle Paul, he had a thorn in his flesh. And God did not take that away from him. He had to endure it until he got to the other side of heaven. He had to put up with it. There's some things God don't take away, and there's things he does take away. But you can't let those things be a distraction to you. You got to have your mind made up and live for God no matter what. It says, I like this one too. It says, we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. It says, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. In other words, he's saying if the same confidence that you had when you began this walk, if you can hold on to that until the end. Oh, friend of mine, this old world is not my home. We're just a passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Oh, come on, somebody. Oh, this is not the end of the story. One of these days, the Lord's going to come, and he's going to take us out of here. If we hold on to that same confidence that we had from the beginning all the way to the end. Oh, hallelujah to God. The scripture says he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He says, Lord, I'm with you always until the end of the world. Oh, we got a reason to shout tonight. We got a reason to praise the Lord. We got a reason to give him glory because he's God and God alone. If the musicians would come, please. Glory to God. I'm going to land the plane. Scripture says, wherefore... let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. You see, those crossroads that you come to in life, they're not put there to destroy you. They're put there for you to be more determined in the end. I'm going to live for God. But you see, you have to make up in your mind that's what I'm going to do. Because you come to it time and time again. I have a poem I want to share with us. And the title of it is The Crossroads. You see, crossroads is just simply a time in which important changes occur or major decisions must be made. Time and time again, you have to make those decisions. The title of this is Crossroads. It says, the Lord put millions of lives on this earth today to replace the ones he took away. We all have destinies that we must follow to keep the balance of nature true. It's all up to me and you. The crossroads that we come to in life can lead us straight or make us fight. The straight and narrow is the path that God has put for us. And in his infinite wisdom, he gives us a choice. at crossroads. One can lead us to an easy life abound, while the other can make us fight for all that is found. The road that leads us to fight is the road that we must take, so that we can use our hearts and mind and fight to get to his heavenly throne. So in death, we're never alone. The road to an easy life abound will look as beautiful as can be, but it can hide lots of treachery. Life is not always what it seems to be, but this is the crossroads that lead to our destiny. Shall we stand tonight? So those crossroads are there to get us to our destiny. Our destiny is not hell, but our destiny is heaven. God wants us to go there and be there with him. Hallelujah to God. And I don't believe the Bible says that, behold, all things are going to become new. There's not going to be any more pain up there. There's not going to be any more sufferings up there. There ain't going to be any more disappointments up there. And I can't wait to get there. Hallelujah to God. Glory to God. We're going to get there one of these days. It's a promise of God. Glory to God. We're going to go ahead and open up the altar. Hallelujah, Jesus. If you want to pray, it's for you to pray. But those crossroads, it's not there to destroy you.
For your